Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day. New hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Coined as the attitude of gratitude, but we here at Living Abundantly have the awesome privilege of having the show on Thankful Thursdays each week. I've been away from you all for what seems like forever, but even in the midst of what seems like setbacks, there's always an underlining of blessing waiting there if we take the time to see it. It's so easy to get caught up each week and on the air and act like everything is perfect and that I'm always on top of my game, but part of the process of living abundantly is being able to be authentic. That means being honest firstly with yourself and then with others. This entire year has been one of great blessings and breakthroughs, but there have also been some really serious challenges along the way. Challenges are okay, not comfortable, but they are okay in their purpose of strengthening us, showing us areas that require more work, or even showing us how far we've grown. And often before your biggest breakthroughs, it will seem as if everything hits the fan at once. Now, having said all that, I'm thankful to be back among you. I've crossed paths with some very interesting and amazing individuals, each in their own right, in their own way. I've had time to sit down and redefine some things. I've had to close some doors that I really didn't want to close. But the funny thing about that is, once I closed the doors, some doors that I had been waiting on to open suddenly were open and ready for me to just walk right through. This week, we will begin our series on healthy relationships. And with us tonight is a very special guest, Mr. Derek Sanders, who has graciously agreed to come on and talk with us about relationships between a man and a woman from a male perspective. Derek is a thinker, writer, songwriter, public speaker, and he brings such a level of transparency to what he shares. I discovered Derek on Facebook, and you just have to love social media. So you know, some of his information popped up on one of my pages, and I started following his posts. And they were so deep and so thought-provoking and so profound and so right on point with relationships that I had to reach out to him. And so he has agreed to be with us. Please welcome Derek Sanders. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how it was that you came to have the kind of relationship insight that you're going to share with us tonight.
Okay. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, currently living in Nashville. And interestingly enough, everybody in Nashville, for the most part, you think about Nashville, everybody comes here for music, which I actually did too. I came here looking to write music, and I did. I came here and pursued music, and honestly didn't really have a whole lot of success, met a lot of great people in that whole thing. And I remember it was probably – I moved here – 2006, and it was probably 2008, and I got this idea, I don't know why, but I got an idea to write a blog. So I wrote a blog, and it was on relationships, things about relationships, and I sent the link to like maybe 10 of my friends. They were all ladies. My best female friend, Diana, I sent it to her. I can't remember who else. But I remember her response. It was pretty much like, you should do this and forget music, to the point where I kind of laughed because I've been a musician my whole life, and I didn't really come here for that. But anyway, so it kind of started there in one sense, and I ended up on Facebook in 2008. It was 2008, I remember for sure, because I actually ended up going on tour. Moved here to Nashville from Detroit, and end up going on tour with the guy in Detroit. You know, as crazy as that is, moved here to make things happen, and end up going on tour with somebody in Detroit. And we did a college tour sponsored by the American Cancer Society with an artist by the name of Mike Ellison. And I ended up on Facebook because everybody at the colleges we were touring, all of the students were on Facebook. And we were just kind of like using this social network and making friends. So I ended up on Facebook that way. And I started posting about relationships, not really trying to get a following, not thinking about writing a book, any of that. I was just writing stuff that meant something to me that I was passionate about. And then people started reading it, and I started getting messages. I look forward to reading what you write. So it kind of went from there. So it's not like anything I intended for it to happen. But as far as what I write, where it comes from, I try to, well, as I tell people, being a believer, I write from a Christian worldview.
Okay.
So that's my base. And I try to make sure that what I write is sound and it does not compromise. It's in sync with my beliefs. With my Christian beliefs, my worldview.
I want to share with our listeners your post from today.
Okay.
Relationships work best when a man and woman each recognize that they were created differently for a reason. It becomes problematic when we don't understand or dishonor the Creator's purpose for us by individual unique design. Our parts are not interchangeable, nor our roles. We were designed to sit neatly together to form a better union as one. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
what I was trying to talk about was, I guess a lot of times I find myself in discussions about relationships, and we had this at one of I was going through this men's Bible study, and I remember having some back and forth with some of the guys, and we were talking about relationships being 50-50, and it's funny because I'll hear about this tomorrow because one of my buddies from work who I was having a discussion with is probably listening. But we got into a discussion about relationships of 50-50. And I think a lot of times we get into that, those discussions, especially between men and women, it becomes this thing of equality. And, well, we're equal. And I think the problem is we're trying to divvy up, we're having a conversation about roles, but we're talking about equality. And equality, men and women, we're equal because we're all equally human. A woman is no less human than a man and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start trying to divvy up equality, how do we determine equality other than saying that we're both equally human? Because I could argue, if we wanted to go that route, that you all, we weren't equal to you. Why? Because we don't get to have babies. God chose you all as the means, the only means by which life comes into this planet. That's a very special gift. But
yeah,
in those discussions, when we're talking about 50-50, it's not, we're not really having a discussion about equality. We're having an argument about roles, and we were created for different roles. And so that's what I was trying to mention. I was trying to find a way to say it in the post without bringing up equality, because it's difficult to, you know, writing, it's difficult to have certain discussions when you can't explain what you mean if somebody doesn't get it. But that's what I was trying to talk about, just our roles.
Okay, so let's talk about those roles then. So, first of all, do you feel that that women and men are not aware of what their roles are, and that that's part of the initial problem?
Definitely, we don't a lot of times know what our roles are. For a lot of reasons. For one, society gives us a distorted view. For men, society gives us a distorted view of what manhood is. And for us, manhood is predicated on a man's ability to be able to basically prey on a woman. And it becomes how many women a man has or he can compromise. And then he compares that to another man, and it's who has the better grade of women, or who's been with how many women and what these women look like and all this crazy stuff that really has nothing to do with manhood, but it's a distorted view of it a lot of times because there's no father there to teach these sons how to be men. Or in some cases, if he's there, he doesn't know. He hasn't been taught. I mean, and I had a father in the home, and what I saw from my father was a very hard worker, but we never had any discussions about a man's role as a husband. We never had those discussions, and my father said that not too long ago, some months ago. We never had conversations about relationships, and he happened to mention it in passing. He said, we never talked about that stuff. Our father didn't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father, I'm the third generation out of slavery, so they came from a different place. They were trying to survive. You know, they took care of their households, and that's what it meant to be a man. You provided for your family. But as far as being able to interact with a woman and knowing how to love a woman and meet her needs and stuff like that, we never had those discussions, and I think it's gotten progressively worse in society, where it depicts a man as this predator, this sexual predator, basically.
I recently got into a little discussion with a male associate, and he has very, let's say, liberal thoughts on, you know, on male-female, you know, kinds of interactions. You know, and I had gotten into something very similar with him about that, you know, just saying how there has not really been anything of value put in place where men feel like it's a benefit to not prey on women. You know, even if they're, I blog also, and so sometimes I'll post things, and you know, and people will be kind enough to respond back, or you know, whatever. And so there was something I had blogged about recently, because I was really kind of getting a little disgusted with just some of these displays and some of the games and things that we put up with. And so, but my ministry in that regard is women. Beating any man up about what it is that he chooses to do, I'm not gonna put the focus there on him. But for the ladies, if we would step back and decide what it is that we're going to tolerate or not tolerate, then it would force change. Because when we change, everything and everyone around us has to change too, because we are no longer the same. That was one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking. And then the other thing I was thinking was, I want you to then, from a biblical standpoint, you know, tell us what is the role then of a man, you know, especially since many of them just really just don't know.
Well, Ephesians tells us that a husband is supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And it's interesting. Women constantly hear the submission scripture. Women hear, you know, to the point where they cringe when they hear it. And some of them even have it taken out of their vows. But they don't hear what the man's responsibility is. We're supposed to, Christ set the bar for us. And I believe if men would love their wives like Christ loved the church, and women knew that they would love to that degree, then it would be a difference when it comes to submission. Because submission is said to a woman as though it's controlling.
Right.
You know, it's those controlling. And I don't know too many women, really, that want to be a man. They don't want to be a man.
Right.
They want a man who's looking to lead and who's able to lead.
Right.
And if we were, but again, we don't know those roles. We're not taught those things. And I think the reason why a lot of men can be liberal and have that mentality is because it benefits them. I sat on a panel in Chicago last year, and I've heard other men say things like this, but it was an all male panel, and there were ladies there asking questions, and they were asking very real and relevant questions, and they just wanted real relevant answers. And I remember one of the gentlemen kept making a distinction between being a male and being a man, which are very valid distinctions. And one of the ladies said, "Well, you keep making these distinctions. When does a man become? When does he become a man from a male?" And she, you know, she dealt with that, but then she asked him a question, and I kind of felt like he deflected a bit, because his response was, he said, "Sister, what you have to recognize is that a lot of us," and this is where the liberal stuff, I'm going somewhere with this. He said that you have to recognize with a lot of us men, we didn't have fathers in the home to teach us how to love women. And in one sense, that's true. But in another sense, it becomes an excuse. Because at the point that you're able to tell somebody where you're lacking and what you don't know, that means you know what you don't know, so you know what you need to learn. And you have access to either, I mean, I have older men in my life that I talk to, that I call, and I say, "Hey, I need, what do you think about such and such?" But I guess the other side of that is, too, I wouldn't expect this guy to be honest and tell this woman, "Look, the reason we act the way we act and we treat you the way we treat you is because there's no benefit in me changing, because I'm getting everything I want from you like I am."
That's right.
And it's easier. And it's unfortunate, but it's the truth. And And until other men start, not women, it's not up to a woman to hold a man accountable. What a woman does when she finds out a man is like that is she leaves, she that one passed by. It's up to
right.
men to hold other men accountable and to
exactly.
you know, we need to call other men to be accountable. Not that's not a woman's
mm-hmm.
that's not a woman's place. A woman should do that to other women, but not men. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was saying that someone had written in and was kind of questioning me about why I had not approached the subject from the point of the man. I'm like, that's not my audience. You know, that's not who it is that I'm supposed to be reaching. And
right.
he needs to hear that message from a man, you know. And I was kind of glad that some other man had piped in and agreed with that, you know. And it's like if men would hold each other accountable and women would focus on getting some boundaries, you know,
exactly.
and holding each other accountable in that way, then the change that we are looking for, we would see.
Yeah.
So
I mean, because men respect, even if a man is no good, you have to respect a woman that has boundaries. Now, I don't think a woman
mm-hmm.
should be in a relationship. I mean, I see this stuff where she's going to prove to a man that he can't control her. No, once you find out that it's that kind of man, you should have already made the decision that this is not the man for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let him change on his own for somebody else.
I saw something just recently where it was a quote by Anais Nin, and she was talking about, you know, how she can be just this, you know, powerful woman and all these different, you know, places of her life, but then when she's dealing with her man and you know, at home and everything, how she really wants to submit. And so you know, that kind of got a whole interesting little debate conversation
mm-hmm.
Started. And so, you know, my thought with that was, you know, and I really feel like, you know, most women really do want to have someone that they can submit, you know, under, you know, under his headship and all of that. But I felt like, and so I had gotten into a conversation with that same, you know, male, you know, acquaintance.
mm-hmm.
And so I was saying to him that men would require, you know, or they're looking for someone, excuse me, males are looking for someone to submit at a certain level. They're not willing to be what they need to be in order to have her be willing to submit like that. And it's like, you know, okay, so yes, you have this idea of something that you want, and that's fine. You know, you can want that, and you can even have that because, you know, a lot of women are inside, even the tough ones have a tender, soft spot, you know, that no one can reach quite like their man can, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wouldn't be a problem for her to let that side show,
mm-hmm.
but why should she let that side show if you're not willing to step up and be the full picture too? You want a full picture, but you want to give what you want to give. You don't necessarily want to give what it is that she needs, even to the point of hearing what it is that she needs as long as you're getting what you want. You know, so that was kind of our little debate, you know, but that's still my thoughts about that. You know, it's just that it's a give and it's a take. Now, I want to go back to that scripture that you referenced because Christ tells women to respect their husbands, and he tells
right.
men to love their wives. So,
right.
you know, love comes real easy for women, and respect comes real easy for men. So it's easy for a man to, you know, to delve in that realm of respect. It's real easy for women to just love, and yet what we need are the opposites of the areas of our strengths. Men are not that they're not capable of loving, but that's not their wired to respect. You know, love comes a little bit differently for them. Women are wired to love. Respect comes differently for us. A lot of times we are crossing paths and giving what we know to give, even though it's the opposite of what the person actually needs. You ever thought about that?
Actually, it's interesting. My girlfriend and I went to the Love and Respect conference, and parts of that, and I don't know, maybe parts of that, it's not hard for me to love.
Okay.
I'm not saying that maybe I'm different in some regard, and I think I am, and I think I have to be for what it is that I have to do, and I think I might be a little more sensitive than normal, and I think I have to be for what it is that I do, but then the other side of it, I guess when I talk to other men, I think it's, I mean, obviously Scripture says that, so that's what we're are to do, but I think what our struggle is between men and women is just understanding one another.
Okay.
I mean, it's just the differences. I mean, because realistically, when we think about love, especially in our culture, we don't even know what love is. We think love is how we feel about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those feelings go, we think we're out of love. Oh, I'm not in love anymore. No, there are stages to love. And that first stage is the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. And then most people don't even make it out of that because they think something is gone wrong. I mean, I've talked to coworkers, and it's like, oh, I just have these, you know, I just knew with the last boyfriend, it just, I have butterflies with this new boyfriend. I'm thinking, you're willing to base your life on butterflies? Your whole life on butterflies? On some guy that's not willing to marry you after you've been with him for a few years?
Mm.
Butterflies? But I think a lot of it is we don't even understand what those things mean. We don't understand what love means. We don't understand what respect means. And I think, I mean, yeah, obviously we're different. I think men, mm-hmm. we tend to be more logical. And women tend to be more emotional. And that's not a good or a bad. That's just a difference. And with us being leaders, we have to be able to make decisions where we don't have the luxury of thinking or being emotional. We don't have the luxury.
Right.
Sometimes we have to make a decision. I need to make that decision now. I don't have time to think about how I feel about it,
mm-hmm.
which is why, I mean, that's a quality, a characteristic of leadership. Being able to make a decision.
Yes.
But then the emotional aspect is good too.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing of needing security, because the difference, I mean, here's how I see that play out. You'll have a guy that has some idea and he's ready to go out and sell the farm. And a woman will say, no, did you think about this? Did you think about that? And he's getting
mm-hmm.
frustrated because it's like, you know what, she don't have no faith. It's not that she don't have faith. She's thinking about security and you go out foolhardy or with an idea and lose everything.
Right.
And both of those work hand in hand because he's going out, he's got an idea, he's industrious, adventurous, entrepreneurial, whatever word we want to use, and that's great. But you have her thinking about the things he's not thinking about.
Okay.
And when we appreciate those differences, which is usually not how it plays out, is he gets mad because, you know, she don't see what I'm trying to do. No, she does see what you're trying to do. You're different. She's going to make sure everything, you know, it's those things work together good when we're able to appreciate those differences.
Yeah.
Rather than using those as a means of comparing and, you know, where we're comparing one another. She's not, you know, comparing us to each other. I think we do that too where a lot of times we, as men, will appeal to a woman as though she's a man, and she's not. And
you know,
we'll appeal to her the same way we would talk to another guy, and he would understand what we're saying. And I think women do the same things with men.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I have two thoughts. One is I would like for you to tell us what love is. You were saying that, you know, people are, you know, so foolhardy and just rushing right in and willing to base their life on butterflies, but they don't really know what love is. You know, what is love in your definition?
I'm going to borrow from my good friend Brian Tubbs. He says love is being committed to someone's destiny.
And it's
a sacrifice. And mm-hmm. people don't like to say
that's
that because we're selfish. So
mm-hmm.
it's considering another person before ourselves. It's being committed to that person's happiness.
Right.
And we don't want to think about that. And that's funny because I remember you told you when you sent me some information, you said think about a scripture. So I was thinking, okay, I don't know if I'm supposed to say a scripture at the beginning or where it's going to. So I was trying to figure out what scriptures. And I thought about Deuteronomy 24:5 where it talked about when a young man takes a wife that he's not to go to war. He's not to do any business. He's supposed to spend a whole year cheering
mm-hmm.
her up or making sure that she's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you'll read posts, because I've read them, where it's, you know, don't expect nobody to make you happy. That's your responsibility to be happy. And it's funny how I even came across this scripture. I was writing a post one morning, and I was talking about our happiness being, you know, not making somebody, our happiness, somebody else's responsibility. And for whatever reason, I try to make sure whatever I'm saying is sound. And I don't know why I thought about it. I was like, and I Googled. I kind of vaguely remembered the scripture, and I Googled, started reading, and I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. If he's supposed to spend a whole year making his wife happy, cheering her up, and then I started thinking about other things. How do we say that her happiness is not his responsibility in one sense, but in another sense, he's supposed to be willing to die for it. How can you be willing to die
mm-hmm.
for somebody that you're not responsible for their happiness? If I had to choose, I would rather be responsible for making her happy than having to die for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that we're supposed to be willing to give our lives because Christ is our example.
Right. That's pretty deep there. You know, I'm going to add some other stuff here. I feel like love is also a choice, and I think that's the part
mm-hmm.
that we,
when
you were talking about the different stages, I think that's the part that we forget about, that it may start off as a feeling or an emotion, but it becomes something that we choose to do. You know, I choose to, you know, love this person. And even though people who have kids, they will unconditionally love their children, you know, through the highs and lows and ups and downs and all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to give that same kind of regard to our significant other. You know, and yet, you know, you may love your child, but you may not always like your child. I'm a parent, I know.
Right.
You know,
right.
That one firsthand, you know.
Uh-huh.
And yet I continue to love her anyway, you know, even when it's a struggle to do that. Like, oh, I choose to, you know, to put her needs and things like that first. And so then I want to talk about the scripture that you brought up where, you know, it says that he needs to make her a priority for that year, you know, make sure
mm-hmm.
that she's fit and not go off to war and all those kinds of things. And I think that we get so wrapped up in, well, what about me? It's all about me. You know, well, I wanted this, and I had this idea
mm-hmm.
of, or I had this expectation that, fill in the blank, you know, that
mm-hmm.
we forget selfless in that. Because I am focused on loving him, and he's focused on loving me, then the needs
mm-hmm.
are getting met back and forth. But if I'm focused on, if I'm loving you, but focused on me, you know, what's in it for me, and he's focused on him, you know, like, oh, well, just as long as my needs are getting met, then, you know, it's not, you end up with this impasse. And there's a scripture that talks about a cord of three is not easily broken, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we forget the fact that relationships, you know, not just relationships between a man and a woman, but really any relationship that we have is really about our relationship with Christ anyway. And so this is how he can say to you, you know, go ahead and, you know, and love your enemy or bless your enemy or whatever. And so, you know, sometimes a person may feel like their spouse or significant other is not on their side. So it feels like the person is an enemy of sorts, you know. And he's like, but I need you to go over there and, you know, rub that person's feet or, you know, fix them a meal. And you're like, I ain't doing nothing. I'm not doing
of
that. And yet you're, when it comes down to it, the only thing you're really responsible for is have you done what the Lord has asked you to do. And
exactly.
So while you're responsible to him for what he's asked of you, you're not responsible for what he's asked of the other person. That's that other person's level of accountability and responsibility to the Lord. And so if we are, and sometimes it feels not balanced. It feels like one person is giving, you know, but there are seasons to everything too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it may be your season that you have to just give. Now it's not a male-female relationship thing, but it is a relationship. So I had gotten, he had sent someone into my life that I was supposed to kind of mentor and be a friend to. Problem was, the person was not used to ever having been a friend back to anybody. I guess I probably didn't have to tell you where that's going, right?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that gets special real quick, you know. And so, I've learned over the years to just, you know, be tactful and to be quiet, you know, and to voice my concept to the Lord. And so my conversation with him sounds a little bit like, what in the world? What were you thinking? Is this assignment over yet? You know, and being who he is, he has this way of being able to just shut my stuff right down. And he says, she's never, how do you expect her to be a friend if she's never had one? She'll come around. You know, in other words, you're stronger than this. You know, suck it up.
Right.
Do it anyway. What'd you say? I didn't hear you.
Right. You're being the example.
Being the example. Exactly. And so even in other relationships, you know, you'll have times where, you know what, you're stronger in an area than that person is. But how do they learn if no one's ever willing to just, you know, love them right where they are, you know, not talk all the time, just love them right where they are, you know? And so, you know, he says the effectual and fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So, you know, stop talking and telling the person what's wrong with them all the time and start telling, you know, just start praying and just love them right where they are. So, like, that
mm-hmm.
would go very far. But back to the thing of if we would take the focus off of we need or want and just trust God to meet the need, he would work through the person that he has assigned, you know, whether that's, you know, the significant other or not, he has a way of being able to get through. And if you trust your needs to get met to God, he will make sure those needs are actually being met without you having to put your foot down, you know, and throw tantrums or, you know, dig your heels in and be really firm about stuff that really isn't necessary. You know, he
mm-hmm.
would have a gentler way of being able to deal with that and just say, hey, can you do such and such? You know, and the person's needs would get met without there having to be a war taking place on, you know, inside the home. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. You were going to say something. Okay.
No, I mean, it's all about learning how to love. Because, I mean, I was listening. As you were talking, the scripture says that love covers a multitude of faults.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I know I'm learning from, you know, being in a relationship. It's a relationship is like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You see yourself for who you are.
Right.
I mean, you see yourself through the eyes of the other person, and then you
mm-hmm.
see how you interact with that other person. Sometimes you feel
mm-hmm.
good about yourself. Sometimes I feel terrible because I'm like, you know what,
mm-hmm.
my girlfriend deserved better than how I'm
mm-hmm.
treating her. I shouldn't have said this way. And I feel terrible. I shouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it that way. And then when I apologize, and then she said, oh, we're just different, then I feel worse because she's being nice about it, and I know I was terrible. but
yeah.
you see your, it's like a mirror. If somebody's putting it in your face, and you see all of the beauty, you see all of the ugly. And the real deal is, what am I going to do about it? Do I make excuses, or do
mm-hmm.
I see the improvements that need to be made and then make them? No.
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. Because I'm going to take us off the point. So go ahead. go right
in
with what you're saying.
It becomes just like in your relationship that you mentioned. where you're the lead in that. It's like we lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. And sometimes it's like we're so busy. My Uncle Ron, I call him. He said every sin begins with I. And when you think about relationships, we start thinking like Peter did walking across the water when we start thinking about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, you know, I'm not happy, I don't like this, I don't like that. And it's like you find everything wrong with this other person. And we don't do any examining of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Until you do like I do. I talk to some of my friends that's honest, mm-hmm. and they'll tell me the truth. And make me feel terrible, but it's good. Yeah. I mean, it's, you need yeah. that.
But you've mentioned your girlfriend a couple
about
times.
Love.
And it sounds like you've mentioned your girlfriend a couple times, and it sounds like you have a good connect here. And so, let's talk about life before her, because, you know, what kind of people did you attract before, or what kinds of experiences was it that you had that kind of led you to being able to attract at a different time in your life? Am I being clear?
I don't know that it was anything different. It's funny. I met my girlfriend where we both worked out at a fitness club together. That's where I met her. I met her at an unlikely place because most of the times if I'm out, I kind of, which probably seems odd to people that know me, but I kind of keep to myself. I'm kind of quiet. I play in a band, and most of the time I'm out, I just kind of keep to myself. I'm kind of quiet,
mm-hmm.
probably because we play at a bunch of different places. I'm not the club person. I never have been,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not particularly interested in that type of environment. And I usually just kind of sit back and observe. I met her at a gym, and I wasn't, like, trying to make a love connection. We just kind of, like, we see each other and we talk. And I'll tell her the thing that I liked was that she always had a really nice smile, and she made me feel like she was happy to see me, which I'm sure she's probably just smiling because she smiled. But the one thing that was different, and I always told her, and I think she still really don't get it, she was just easy to talk to. Nothing was a big deal. If we went out to eat, I didn't have to worry about, well, am I taking it to the right place? Do I need to open the door, run? Because, you know, we have some of those discussions. It's like, and don't get me wrong, I pay pretty much every time. I pay pretty much all the time when we go out. And that was something she wasn't used to that she loved. So I'm not saying that, but it's like sometimes you get so much caught up in that stuff that you don't even get it. You're uncomfortable. You know, as a guy, you're uncomfortable because you're trying to, you know, well, what if I take her to this restaurant? Is that going to be okay? Well, what if I didn't have to deal with any of that with her. We hung out. If I called her and said, you want to go to such and such place? She's like, yep, okay. You want to go to the movies? Yep, what do you want to see? I don't know, what do you want to see? It was like she didn't really. It was easy in that sense. It was no big deal as to where we went, what we did. I probably could have said, "Hey, Jennifer, you want to go throw rocks in a parking lot?" And she'd probably been like, "All right,
yeah, let's do it.
As long as you don't hit nobody's car." You know, so, and as a guy, I appreciated that because you hear a lot of ridiculous conversations about stuff. I noticed even with her, she didn't ask me where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, he didn't ask me where I worked. And then when it finally did come up, it wasn't like she was asking. It just came up. And she said, well, I said, yeah, why did you never ask me that? She said, well, I never asked you where you worked, because I figured if, you know, you could take care of yourself, you know, you take care of your responsibilities, it didn't matter. It was a non-issue. And I hear a whole lot of those conversations about, because I listen to Blog Talk, and I listen to a lot of, you know, the relationship stuff. I listen to it on YouTube, and I was listening to one yesterday, and it was a question asked to the ladies, can a man lead you that has less economic power? And I'm like, what? You know what I thought about? Tell you what I thought about. A couple years ago, before I was at the current job, I was working at Lowe's, and I was still posting on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my girlfriend was talking about this yesterday. I was making about $9.69 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And was I less of a leader then? I make considerably more now than I did then at the job that I'm at now. But I was out of work. I just got off tour. I needed a job, and I was
mm-hmm.
willing to work, and Lowe's was willing to hire me. And
exactly.
I was working, making $9 or something an hour part-time, and I was writing
mm-hmm.
posts, and women would come to my page like they do now, and, you know, we have dialogue, this, that, and the other. And it's funny because I would think, I wonder how many of them would be interested in talking to me if they knew I made less than $10 an hour.
And yet you were willing to get out there and work. And so it's
right.
And part of a man's
and
role is
yeah.
to provide. But you were willing to do what it took
exactly.
in order to be able to support yourself.
Yeah, and I was paying my bills.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking
but I had
brother.
Less economic power.
But that's okay. You know, that's okay. I have a younger brother, and he was dating this girl, and she was, let's just call her high maintenance, you know. Everything had to have, you know, a name brand and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm quite a few years older than him, so we have to have, you know, serious powwows. Actually, the joke in the family is that he has no siblings. He has two mothers, okay? So, so mom number two was talking. And I'm like, you know, that's not the kind of person that you would really want to be trying to get serious with, you know. And so, you know, even though, you know, he might not have been thinking marriage, you know, stuff kind of, I'm like, you have to think long-term. You have to think, you know, beyond the here and the now. And I'm like, if this
mm-hmm.
is somebody who is stressing you and at the time, I mean, it's been a few years, so, you know, at the time he was working at, like, McDonald's or something, that same kind of situation you're talking about. He's working,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he is not, you know, he's not thinking, like, serious paper or anything, you know, but he's taking care of his responsibilities, you know, and yet she's pressuring him for something with a name, some expensive name brand. And I'm like, you know, is that really what you want? You know, you have, you know, goals of doing some things. He's a music engineer, and, you know, his son's going to school and all that kind of stuff. You know, but he has things
mm-hmm.
that he's trying to do, you know, like lofty goals for himself. And it's like, you know, do you really want someone who's going to be throwing tantrums and you're down here at level one trying to get to level 10 and you'd never be able to get where you're trying to go because she's always got her hands out whining and wanting something? Is that really what you think that you want? You know, so, yeah, I totally feel you on that. I guess that was nice. I'm notorious for going three streets over to go next door. Okay, so I've done it again.
Oh, me too. But, me too.
So it's, you know, it's good. Let me throw something out there at you. Okay, so, you know, you've talked about this from the standpoint of a woman being able to accept a man who is, you know, who might not be exactly where he wants to be, you know, but he is gainfully employed and he has a focus. He knows where he's trying to go. He's pursuing his goals. He's just not where he wants to be yet, and her ability to be able to deal with that. But let me reverse it. You know, what about a woman, you know, who has, you know, things are opening up and some of her stuff is starting to, you know, to manifest, you know, but he might be an average Joe, you know, type of person, you know. Do you think that her being in the spotlight or rising in the ranks or whatever, you know, would end up being like a play on his manhood and he would feel like, you know, he is less of a man because, you know, he might not be making more money than her, or, you know, she has this position that requires that she, you know, kind of be more out, you know. Is there, do you have a set of thoughts about that?
Well, it's funny because I think about those situations. I think about my three best friends, my three best male friends. All of their wives make more than my girlfriend makes way more than I do.
Okay.
And my best friend's wife makes, I'm sure, considerably more than he does. And
mm-hmm.
it's not a problem
okay.
in any of their marriages. It's not a problem in my relationship. She's
okay.
never once said anything about, you know, we don't have that issue about that power struggle about independence or control. She's not telling me she's strong, a black independent woman, and I'm not saying any crazy stuff about. We don't have those issues. But, you know, I always use my best friend for an example because he's been married over 20 years.
Okay.
And his wife makes more than he does, and it's never been a problem in their relationship. He's ahead of, you know, she respects him, and he respects her. I mean, and you know, she respects him. He loves her. They get along fine. I think people that have those issues,
I was just going to say, it seemed like in those relationships, it seemed like people had a real understanding of what their roles were, and in knowing the roles, that helped to not have there be a problem. That's good. That's good. Now, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I remember some years ago, I was still home in Detroit. I was working in a totally different industry, and one of my coworkers, he was probably about 11 years or so older than his wife. And his wife worked in a salon. His wife worked for Merck, and she was like a regional manager. She probably made twice what he made. And he was considerably older than her. And he's like, man, we put our money together, and it's our money.
That's right.
And it was no issue. He was the head of his household. She wasn't trying to be the leader.
That's right.
And I think a lot of times when we have those issues, really, what is it about? When I hear the discussions about, money and, how much money a man should make, or, you know, the successful woman who can't find a man and all this kind of stuff, I come I've worked in banking and investments and all of that since 1999. That's when I first went in to that world. And you can't have a real discussion about money, about who earns what, I mean a real discussion, until you start talking about, because if you say, for example, a woman makes $70,000, and she's looking at a guy who makes $50,000, okay, you make $20,000 more than him, but all you're talking about is income. A real conversation would be, how much does it cost to run your household?
That's right.
And how much expenses do you have? Do you have college debt? Do you have credit card debt? Do you have all of that kind of stuff? Because I was in one of those discussions on Facebook a couple of years ago, and I don't even want to go into specifics because I don't know who the person that posted is listening to this conversation or not, but it was a conversation about basically women who made more money than a man. But it was not a real conversation. It was a conversation more so about status than anything else, because a real conversation would be, because I even presented this, if you have a man and a woman, and she has her own household, he has his own household, and they're both able to meet their obligations and have a little money left over, what difference does it make how much either one of them make?
Exactly.
Because if they get married, they have one household, two incomes. So now you've decreased your expenses because you only got one household now. You have two incomes, and it's your money. It's not his and hers. So what are we really talking about? I make X amount of dollars, and now I don't need you because I make more money than you, or I need, you know, those are like foolish conversations. Because the other question I asked was, I never mentioned how much money I made the year before. It didn't matter, but I said I have more than 10% of my gross income when January rolled around. How much do you have? Nobody ever responded to that comment, because that's a real conversation. If we're going to talk about money, then let's have a real conversation about money. How much does it cost to run your household? And at the end of the year, after you've made $70,000, how much do you have left over? Because that's another one. It's not how much you make. How much do you have left over?
That's right.
If you don't have any money left over, all you're talking about is income. Let's talk about outgo.
That's right.
That's a real conversation.
You know, we've got 5 minutes left on the show, and I think this would be a good place for us to start next week. Oh, yeah, people. Derek has agreed to be with us the entire month of November. And so we're going to start this conversation next week talking about the finances, because you bring up some really interesting points. And we know that the issues that couples have with finances are, you know, major points that cause good relationships to fail unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really good place for us to start next week. Okay. Derek, thank you again so much for your profound insight. And
thank you for having
tell
me.
Tell our listeners where they can keep up with you.
You can find me on Facebook. If you search Derek Sanders, D-E-R-E-K, Sanders. There's two of us. I have a buddy here in Nashville named Derek Sanders, spelled exactly like mine, but I'm the one with the long lock.
Got it, people? Okay. Oh. or to reach it directly, you could also do www.facebook.com/ D-No, D-K-N-O-W, number 2. Again, that's www.facebook.com/ D as in David or Derek, K-N-O-W, number 2. So
we're
getting the right one. Pardon me?
D-K-N-O-W-S 2.
S, okay, Derek knows too. Ah, thank you.
Thank you, though, because I didn't even know how to get there myself.
Okay, so did you guys get that? So that's facebook.com/ D knows number 2.
Yep.
Okay. And okay, so and if you have missed any part of this show, the entire episode will be available just a few minutes after. And so we're gonna wrap things up. I have a few announcements, if you will. In my absence, there have been many new developments. For starters, my novel, Season of Change, has been nominated to receive a second annual Spoken Word Billboard Award, and I'll be in D.C. this weekend for the event. So if any of you are in the D.C. area on Sunday, please stop by Bus Boys and Poets from 6 to 9 p.m., and that is located at 1025 5th Street Northwest, and tickets are only $10. And I've also become the founder of the Say What? Book Club. This is really my baby. It gives me an opportunity to feature the works of both established and emerging authors and to help give exposure to very talented individuals who might not otherwise get it. And starting in January, for those who are in the Detroit area, we will meet every third Sunday from 3 to 5 at the Panera located at the Westland Mall. But for those of you who are not in the area who don't feel like coming out, just know that we are more than a book club. We are a community. So feel free to join our discussions and our author spotlights and our online group. And we are located at facebook.com/groups/ Say What Book Club. Again, that's www.facebook.com/groups/ Say What Book Club. And if you are not following me, you may do so on Twitter. I am at Tumika Patrice. That's at T-U-M-I-K-A Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E. On Facebook, you can find me. I'm Tumika Patrice Kane. So it's T-U-M-I-K-A P-A-T-R-I-C-E C-A-I-N. And for more information on my novel, you can access it directly from my website, and that is www.TumikaPatrice.com. And we will have more highlights to come in the upcoming weeks. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that no matter where you are on the journey, you are further along today than you were yesterday, and that you are worth the effort that it takes to make it to the finish line. As always, make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.